So there's a picture of Nina Simone and Aretha Franklin in Barbados together?
That's right.
Wow.
It was taken, if I'm not mistaken, it was taken by the Advocate in those days. And they were assigned at Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were enjoying the beach. And Aretha was in the beach wear. And Nina Simone was in the beach wear. And we're having a drink. If you look into the archives of the Advocate, I believe you'll be able to find that picture.
Oh, wow.
And the caption to suit. That was around 19... I'm about to go deep into my archives and pull that. I should have that photograph, but I would have to search for it.
So, Mark, what are your memories of Crop Over, its introduction in 1974? And how did that change entertainment? Because you'd have been involved in 50s, 60s, into the early 70s. And then comes this Crop Over in 74, which is different from the Crop Over in 82 and what it is now. How did that...
I was involved in Carnival. It started as Carnival. The JCs started what can be considered as Carnival. And those were the days that the steel bands would move from wherever location they were practicing band house and go on the street and do a band, a street walk. Those were the early days of Carnival Crop Over. What was important was that when we moved to Crop Over, I played a major role. I was involved in the coordination of three things. I was involved in the coordination of the stadium for the Calypso Finals.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in the Boxers World Mall. And I was involved, as far as it's concerned, as the Bridgestone Market.
Let me tell you about Boxers World Mall. I love that. And I was very hurt as a young man in my teens when that came to an end. But that was an awesome thing to go to, Baxter's Road Mall.
Now, I would blame the shop proprietors, because when we look at Baxter's Road, most of the shops in Baxter's Road were rented. They were renting the properties. And unfortunately, a lot of late to help the mall go, but it had to be coming from sponsorship money. And the early stages, the first 2 or 3 years, was well sponsored. Bank sponsored the first year, then Hanselinis and Cockspur sponsored. But what was beautiful about the Baxter's World Mall, it was true Beijing. The element of Crop Over, where you could have gone on the Baxter's World any night and feel being a Barbadian, because the cuckoo contest, the Morby drinking contest, the Calypso tents, everything on Baxter's Road was an atmosphere of, and everything worked to the point where there was no quarrel, there was no fights, it was just people enjoying themselves. And people going to Baxter's Road from as early as 11 o'clock and never left Baxter's Road till about 10, 11 the next day. Now, as far as the stadium is concerned, people don't give me credit for suggestions and recommendations. When the stadium first started to do the events at the stadium, just like how the wrestling was, there was a mad rush of wall jumping and not waiting to be able to go in orderly. I could not have financed the BRC wire for the wrestling. But they made a suggestion at a meeting and Elton took it, that let's put an outer fence. An outer fence would mean that people would have to come through the outer fence to come to the wall, the entrance to the walls at the stadium. And that worked in the sense that we were able to keep people off the walls, because we were just supposed to climb up on the walls and drop down like flowers. And that was a sign of up to today, if you look, the stadium has still got that outer fence. And that was foresight in controlling the attendance at the National Stadium for events. For example, the finals night, people must assemble from as early as 2 o'clock. So you have to prepare yourself for that crowd of people who call themselves the front line posse. From as early as 2 o'clock, they would assemble and take a position in the front row. You have to make provision for them, even though the stadium might not have been ready. When they get to the gate, you have to recognize the fact that these are the people who support Calypso. These are the people who went to almost every tent, and these are the people who went to judging. So how you could keep them on site at 7 o'clock for the start of the gate opening? So they were allowed in, and they were allowed to come in and sit down to the short start.
So when you say stadium, you're talking 1982, those years with Gabby and Bag, you were there dealing with that then?
I was there in 1982.
Wow.
When the first show of Bag, I was there from 1982, and it was no cup over.
Take us back to that finals when the rain came, because everybody has a different version of what happened. Take us back to when the show apparently started, but then it got called off.
The show was well supported in terms of attendance. People were coming down to Waterford Bottom like nothing.
Wow.
To the show. People were outside the stadium in the thousands. The show went off, the first half of the show went off beautiful. Beautiful. And then out of a clear blue sky, like somebody opened up the clouds. And it poured and poured and poured, even down in the underground tunnel at the stadium when rain was down in there. Water was all over the place. Water was stadium road. Water was, it was like out of a clear blue sky, all between 6 and 7, it was a clear evening. And then when the national anthem started, it was good. Then when it started to bring on the Calypsonians, Punker, all the others, that was the first half. Because I was manager, had my position then was what I call site manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be well aware of what was going on. So eventually when the rain came down, you had a situation where people got soaked. People kick off the shoes. Women left the shoes and all types of things about the place because of that weather.
So was there any attempt to have the show again?
Yes. There was a plan. There was a plan as far as the show was concerned to have it the next night. And again, it rained. This is for my mental. But then later on, they had the show, but there was no confirmation on the winner. Because it had already postponed twice.
Mm-hmm.
It already postponed twice. But what was good was that those were the days that people supported the Calypso finals at the stadium and events at the stadium, because large coolers, people used to come to the stadium with coolers with all types of things, and don't talk about the Beijing Yankees and the Beijing Canadians. They used to come down, and that was a scene of happiness, joy, fun. And what I liked about that when they finished that, they went straight into Baxter's Road. And then from Baxter's Road, they went on to Spingard, to Guayna Highway. Now, let me tell you, in the Guayna Highway, only moved below Exmouth after, because that is the Bristol Market came all the way down, and it stopped just outside the Pelican Village. Then it was asked to move it down to Brandon. My problem was that I had was with the what I would call the fellas who make souvenirs.
Because I went to Bridgetown Market in 1985 and it did finish at Pelican Village because Mad was selling Jeanette, their 45, sitting on the railing from a crocus bag in 1985. But then the next year, I think it was, it ended up on Spring Garden,
because the position was that I remember... I was challenged, really challenged. I went through a fight with that and get it to move to Spring Garden. Because I don't know if you remember that I had introduced what was known as the Beach Festival. And this enabled people not only to enjoy the crop over land site, to be able to enjoy the crop over as far as water sports was concerned. We had swimming competition. We had several things, so people would enjoy these side activities. Those were the days that community development was involved. You had NCF, you had community development. And that year, they had on-the-farm pastor at their sports. All types of sports was included on the farm pastor. Besides, you had the flotilla of boats. You had that was beautiful. But the people from up in, I think, were complaining because they said they were denied the right to sell the souvenirs. And that was when Walker's Alley. Remember Walker's Alley? That's when they moved the fellas from Walker's Alley and moved them down to Cheapside.
Temple Yard.
I think eventually they were comfortable. They were happy. But in the beginning of it, they felt that they were shortchanged. That they were moving the crop over to the betterment of the business community and were neglecting them. Eventually, plans were put in place and they were seen as being part of what is happening or what was happening because it gave them a space way on Spring Garden, way opposite the monument. And they were there for a long time. Those fellas who were doing souvenirs and different things were there for a long time selling the produce. So you could have gone on to Spring Garden and you could have gone straight to the area where the souvenirs were being sold. Those were the days too, Ronnie, that nobody went to Spring Garden and left Spring Garden without a record.
It is true. And you know, Mark, what was different about Spring Garden then? Sluggy, obviously, you have this experience too. Before, we had this system where everything plays the same music with one system feeding Spring Garden. The joy was different DJs would turn up at different stalls, and some of the tents actually had
Correct.
Their own bars. Like Untouchables was a very popular
Correct.
Bar, and then Mad would be up and down with their albums and many other artists as well. And I think, obviously, I don't know why they stopped it. You hear things, but it loses some of its variety when one sound, one station, or one special broadcast point is just piping the same thing from the bottom by Kensington Oval to that junction there with Brighton. It was just an energy that you had. Because as a young DJ, setting up with my cousin, Andrew, Super D, for the EFM crew with our little boxes at the Bajan Cuisine stall, we thought it was a big test for us because next to us, you had guys that had like walls of
Correct.
Speakers. So it was an experience. A lot of people
Correct.
Got experience by being there. And the artists would get the benefit of hearing their songs at different points. And you got people that would go to certain stalls as soon as they heard a certain song and leave other stalls, leave other stalls and go and spend their money at that stall.
I think Rastelli and Bob.
Ronnie, that was the joy in it was you at one stall, but you hear a Gary come on, you know, you leave in that stall and find another boy, that DJ who played that Gabby Bell's books or Hit It or Jack. If you hear a DJ playing that one, you know all of we leaving where we are and going over there and buying from there too.
Not only that,
so
Sluggy,
the
but
was watching each DJ. Go ahead, buddy.
You know what caused all of the problem? They allow crop over to become too commercialized.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of allowing crop over to become too commercialized, there was a time that banks said that no foreign beer was supposed to be allowed, and it was a time that Caribbean said no local beer was supposed to be allowed. And I find that to be rather strange in a country where this thing originated, that you had a foreign beer which was dominating, which said that you can't sell a Banks beer. Now, again, I look at situations that we could have avoided and we would have had a beautiful crop over still. Take, for example, the community. The community needs to be involved at all levels. And the farm pastor could have been identified as a location for community events, cottage industries, giving people the right to set up what we call the cottage houses, and look for people in the community who will sit down on a step outside and talk stories that would entertain the people, go back in time. Now, again, that nothing like that is thought of anymore. In terms of being commercial, I find that unfortunate, and I think that this is something that could be rectified, is that much of our music is not airplayed because we are listening to other people's music. Well, somebody would have to dictate and control that, because it says the Caribbean unity now, and you must be airplayed through the region. But what I found that crop over has lost its thing, and it's lost its thing in terms of support, but it's picked up a type of frightening support in terms of the young people. You need to correct that. I hope that they're listening to this interview, because I believe that the night thing should be banned. I believe that should be banned. It does nothing for crop over. It doesn't sell the music. It doesn't create an atmosphere other than allowing young people first time out of school to get involved. So here it is that you're creating an atmosphere for the future. And that means that you're putting them into the wrong vibes, the future.
What is it that you say should be banned?
The night thing from 12 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
Oh, you mean the four-day morning? It's four-day morning.
I feel, Ronnie.
Yeah, four-day morning, correct.
I feel that the four-day morning attracts a crowd of people that this is their first time getting loose for an event. So you have a lot of 14-year-olds, and you have a lot of 13-year-olds, and you got some even 10-year-olds out that night doing as they like, between an atmosphere that they shouldn't be between. If you're going to have that type of atmosphere, I think it should start early, giving the youngsters a chance between 6 p.m. and probably 12 to be involved. But not between 12 and 6, and you're bringing out all types of people in skimpy dress and being challenged. This is an element that needs to be looked at. I may lose friends for saying it, but I think it has done damage to the real crop over costumes, in terms of people not being able to get involved in the actual costume display on Kaduma Day, because they find a cheaper way of masquerade. So because you found a cheaper way of masquerade, you've watered down what could become a spectacle.
Well, Mark, some would say it's the most popular event of the festival, and those that do bigger, fuller costumes for Kaduma Day actually create their T-shirt bands for four-day morning as well, and financially, that keeps them afloat.
Now, I take the T-shirt bands, and they come out of what we had for Cabernet Hastings that was introduced.
Conga line.
Right. Now, I see that there could be a modification of what I'm talking about, because this would give advertisers an opportunity to project the product T-shirt-wise.
Yes, for sure.
To project the product T-shirt-wise. This idea of pent-up skin and this idea of thing is good, but I don't think we're ready for it yet.
I will say, Mark, that many of the bands that have sponsors, they are on the T-shirts for sure. They make sure they're on the T-shirt.
But you realize who's wearing the T-shirts? The security is wearing the T-shirts?
Not in 4-day mourning bands. Even if the t-shirt is cut a little bit, torn a little bit, to create what the visual effect that they're looking for. But there are some brands that definitely have the revelers in their t-shirt. That's the whole point as far as they're concerned, and the product, because a lot of drinks companies are involved too.
Most of the product I have seen t-shirt wise has been placed on the security aspect of it.
Okay.
Now, again, I do not believe that all the bands could afford a sound system. So you've got a lot of little trucks in between there, the sound systems, and the sound systems breaking down off and on. I believe there should be sound systems along the road that you walk out of one or walk into the other, which will enable the continuation of the parade. I'm only making suggestions. I may be wrong, but this is what I'm seeing for the future.
But how do you feel about this event finishing way after 6 o'clock now? Because sometimes when I'm checking it, people haven't reached Spring Garden yet, but they're enjoying themselves, but the sun is up long time.
You mean after 6 o'clock the morning time?
Same 4-day, yeah.
What I've seen recently is that they have decided that they do a continuation of a weekend thing. But that don't, they advertise the weekend continuation, but it don't work. It happened. They tell you it will go from the start and finish the whole Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday, and the Monday. But every night it stops. I think it stopped, these nights stop because the control, the police has to control
the
behavior of what is going on. But That was discussed that the largest start, it would be a weekend of events here, there, and everywhere, and a weekend of events where it will finish at 6 o'clock in the morning. But again, when you look at anybody do a proper analysis of the 4-day morning, all the 4-day mornings so far has finished with a little climax, a little incident taking place, and that is because there's a continuation of behavior way down to the end.
Well, Mark, I'm not sure that any incident will immediately be linked to the event and the management of the event. People react to certain situations, irrespective of the fact that they were at an event. I'm not sure that the event management is such at that time, at that stage, because except for a couple of tragedies we've had over the years, I think the 4-day mourning has been well managed. But the current edition, where it finishes so late in the morning and with increased social media, you see a couple of things happening that are happening on a particular day, but not necessarily under the auspices of the people who are managing the event. It's just that they happen on the same day at the same time, not in the middle of the event. Many times you see these things after the sun's come up, people are doing what they're doing, it's filmed and it's sent across, you know, because I think we manage events pretty well, and that's because of people like yourself and Al, who've been promoting and producing events for such a long time. And I just want to say, you mentioned Norman Barrow in terms of taking a stand on your behalf. I think, like you, especially from a sound perspective and his contribution to events and as a promoter, Norman Barrow has done tremendous work as well. I just had to make sure I get that in.
When you consider Norman and Dorsey Boyce.
Correct.
And then you consider Al and Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
We have got promoters who would take things to another level. Take, for example, the Cobbler Pot, the night with DB Productions and AMB.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still, nobody can better that, because you've seen on camera and video, you've seen what I consider to be an island celebrating. Entertainers evolve in an exercise, hoping that the outcome of this would put them on the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am one of the people now that see things I've probably seen from my old age. But I think that just like Sluggy, There's room in Barbados for almost everything that we have talked about and represented. I've spoken with my hard days in promotion and still. I've spoken about certain things, but what is extremely important is that there's an element that have been allowed to creep in. An element who does not want to sacrifice. An element who is selfish, who believes that the end product must always be for their favor. And as a result of that, you're going to get situations developing where it's not going to be for their favor all the time. I still think that we need to open up our corporate calendar. There are a lot of things we need to do as far as corporate is concerned. If we are saying now that this year there's unlikely to be a corporate, but if we are saying that we have developed a slogan which says this is who we are, we got to really do things to identify with who we really are.
Do you see corporate happening next year with COVID the way it is?
I will be honest with you. If it is done well and it is done in a particular position, take for example, there's nothing wrong with doing a 6 to midnight event and close off and restricting your audience, but not from 12 to 7 or 8 the next morning. 6 the afternoon, after work line, which will enable you to come out at 12 o'clock.
Well, I can't see a socially distanced 4-day morning. Sluggy, can you, the way it goes down?